And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What's going on, peeps? Joe, how are we doing?
Doing all right. How was the PA work? Good PA work this weekend?
The voice is still going strong. Some public address announcing work at the Dixie Youth State Baseball Tournament in Greenbrier, Tennessee for the 10 and under division. It's going well. We were doing fine up until about yesterday, and then the bottom fell out, and we've got some games to make up today.
Of course.
Weather did not cooperate.
Just let it keep going and on and on and on.
Yeah, just keep tournament going. Why not?
And you're doing a lot of different duties there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Kicking smokers out.
Security.
Yeah. Security. A little bouncing.
Lots of
intimidation.
Things. Yeah, because that's what you think of when you look at me is, man, don't want to cross that guy.
I mean, you know.
There you go.
Big guy. Big, scary beard.
That's right.
I wouldn't mess with you.
That's right. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on? You're back for week two. We didn't scare you off. That's good.
Week two. I'm excited, guys. Had a nice weekend, even though my sons lost.
Yeah.
That was tragic on Saturday.
Yeah.
But excited for the week.
I love how they're her sons now. She's just adopted them.
I'm the owner of the team.
You got half your shot, but then your guy needs to be stronger with the ball, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 40 points, but then that turnover at the end kind of... Yeah, just put a damper on it.
Other than that, a pretty good game for Devin Booker.
No, he's pretty freaking
good.
Player. But Drew Holiday, man, I have no idea what got into that guy. That was something to behold.
Well, it's about time. He's been needing to raise it up the whole series. He did.
He did. He had a really good game.
Was it
game
three? Yeah.
Game three. He also had a run. I've never thought he was, you know, a great player. I still don't necessarily, but my gosh, I mean that was a clutch performance in a big moment.
And now the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, as you said on Friday, Joe, the series doesn't start until someone wins on the road. So apparently the series has begun.
It has started.
Milwaukee wins the game on the road, and now they've got an opportunity coming up tomorrow night to close it out and win a title. And look, they've won three in a row. You're down 0-2 in this series. They've battled back to take a 3-2 lead in the NBA Finals. I said Bucks in seven before the series started. I think I'm changing it. I think they're going to win. I don't see them losing in game six at home. I think it's right there for the taking. I think Milwaukee's going to get it done in game six.
I'm not sure about that. I still think Phoenix has something to say. We'll see. I mean, Chris Paul, you know, did scored the ball on the last game, but he's still got to play better. I don't know. I'm not convinced that, like, Milwaukee is in position to just come in there and end it, but we'll see. I do think that Giannis, to me, has Giannis has elevated in my eyes what he is as a player during this series. And maybe it's because I just haven't watched. But, you know, but I mean, before this, it was like, great regular season player, compiles stats, super athletic.
Yeah.
Can he do it at the big moments? I mean, he's been unbelievable. And also his press conferences have been among the best press conferences.
He's amazing.
We've seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, the guy's awesome. Easy guy to root for.
Very easy guy to root for. And I think far and away, the Finals MVP. Like, if the Bucks win and somebody doesn't vote for Giannis, what are we doing? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you could. There's always like the, well, like someone could look at like Drew Holiday in the last game and say, "There's no way they win if he doesn't do this, this, this." But yes, there's no. It should be unanimous if they win and like
he should win Finals MVP just for that block alone.
Yeah, just about. Yeah,
it's amazing.
A couple 40-point games in a row. Should be a factor, too.
32 points for Giannis on Saturday night. Chris Middleton with 29. And as you said, Holiday with 27. 3 from 6 from three-point land. 12 of 20 overall. But some big shots down the stretch for Drew Holiday.
Well, and then the steal
and the
steal, lob.
Yeah.
Even throwing that lob. I mean, that's where it also helps to have Giannis on your team because he put it down with no problem. But I thought the lob was kind of reckless. But they pulled it off. I'm not convinced the Suns are done, though. I don't know. I just kind of have a feeling they're going to surprise a lot of people and send this to seven.
We'll have to see what happens on that front.
We will.
Game 6 coming up tomorrow in the NBA Finals. Back in Milwaukee, the Bucks with a chance to close it out at home. We'll see whether or not they can get that done or if Phoenix can force a Game 7 back in Arizona. I think we know which one Michelle is rooting for at this point.
I don't know a very good poker face.
It's okay. Also on Saturday night, I was at the Sounds game, which, by the way, the Louisville had this kid throwing Saturday night at the Sounds game. His name is Hunter Green. He's the number one prospect for the Cincinnati Reds, as Ryan Porth will happily tell you about. That kid was pumping it in there, 103, 102.
Wow.
And it wasn't like every now and then. It was like every fastball, 102, 103. It was unbelievable. So I was sitting there watching that. And then a couple of blocks away, Nashville SC was just dismantling the Chicago Fire. Hany Mukhtar, 3 goals in 16 minutes, an MLS record for the quickest hat trick that we've seen. They just shredded Chicago on Saturday night, and Mukhtar, the number one responsible party with the 3-goal performance. And that means the listeners, they've separated themselves in the NSC pick-to-click competition brought to you by Camarena Tequila. They're up 3-1 on you. Porth and I are still yet to find his way on the board. Porth with a selection of Ake Loba on Saturday, who did not play. Did not find himself into the 18. I thought he was going to. That was supposed to be the plan, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But a big win for Nashville SC nonetheless, 5-1.
Impressive. I mean, you know, they've lost one game this year.
I know.
They've still lost one. I'm sorry. They've lost one match this year. Once.
Yeah.
And they're tied for third in the Eastern Conference.
You have 7 ties.
Well, draws. Yes. Yes. Yeah. There you go. Draws.
Whatever.
But it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
One loss. And that's fun. Mukhtar, especially his second goal, that was pretty sweet. Actually, his second and third goal were both pretty sweet. But 23,000 people.
Yeah.
It's exactly the time, you know, if you're Nashville SC, You want to get people to notice, the casual fan in Nashville to notice you, you know. Winning, having fun, scoring goals. This is the time period before, you know, football gets going and takes up a bigger chunk of the attention. So, good for them.
Yeah, big win for Nashville SC. As you said, they just they keep on piling up the points. And we'll see if they can keep doing that moving forward. But also on Saturday, I'm sitting there in the Dixie Youth Press Box calling these games between 9 and 10-year-old baseball. Great competition going on. All of a sudden, my phone starts blowing up, and I'm like, oh, boy, what happened? I look on Twitter, look at my text messages, and I see that Ryan Ellis has been traded to the Philadelphia Flyers. I had a feeling something might happen. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be Ryan Ellis. But, you know, moves get made. The roster freeze is about to take place before the expansion draft, and we saw some moves around the league of teams making some last-minute trades, some last-ditch efforts to maybe simplify their formula a little bit for the expansion draft. And right at the wire, David Poile and the Nashville Predators strike again. Ryan Ellis traded to the Philadelphia Flyers. Joe, on a scale of 1 to 10, your shock factor that Ellis was traded before the expansion draft and that he was moved this offseason in general?
Well, those are two different questions.
I know.
Okay, so moved in general, shock factor, 4?
See what you did there. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean to do that, but there you go.
That is his number.
That's a 4 for 4.
All right.
This particular deal, when and what and everything, maybe 7.5?
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, this was like a whoa. You know, the Arvidsson deal was like, yep. Makes sense. Now, we've talked a lot about Ellis being moved, but then there's been a lot of noise and public noise from David Poile. I mean, Vingan, in his piece, brought up his comments from 2 years ago when they signed the extension. Basically, like, this dude will never leave town.
Yeah.
Say hello to Ryan Ellis. Thank you, everybody.
Pictures changed a little bit than a couple years ago.
Things change in pro sports. But this particular deal and how it went down, yeah, it was one of those, whoa, really, huh? No doubt about it. And interesting, too, you know, I think a lot of Preds fans have been clamoring for some big moves like this. But But this and the Arvidsson deal, you also realize how many Preds fans love both of those guys.
Yeah.
You know? Some people who are upset, including Ryan Ellis, apparently.
Yeah. Apparently so. I'm not surprised by that. I mean,
damn.
People get upset when they get traded. It's part of pro sports.
It's go make a whole bunch of money playing in Philadelphia now. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised by the timing of it. Not to toot my own horn, but I did say, and I think you may have said this as well on a Call Your Shot Friday.
Yeah, you didn't say that on Twitter, but that's fine.
Well, you should have said something.
Nah,
a couple of months ago, Call Your Shot Friday, I said Arvidsson and Ellis would get traded this offseason, and here we are. That they've both been traded.
I actually don't remember if I said it.
I don't know if you did.
We've talked a lot about
those two are the most likely.
Yeah. And it's, when you look at them as a tandem, you also think about kind of the move to be more physical. I mean, the fact is, now I think more with Arvidsson than Ellis. Yes, Ellis has been thrown around some of the playoffs, but I think Ellis has been pretty good overall, including in the playoffs. To me, I'll never forget 2017, the guy playing on one knee and what he did. Arvidsson, less so. Taken out of the – even in his great seasons, less effective. But the two small guys, which, again, those are fan favorites too, right? The little guys who show that they can play at this level.
Yeah.
But it is – you look at it as a tandem. It is like that move toward being bigger and more physical. And you got cap space now.
Oh, yeah.
If you're David Boyle, you got cap space.
You do have some cap space. But I will say, there was one part about this Ryan Ellis trade that really took me off guard. And we'll get to that coming up next. Also, take your thoughts as well on the Ryan Ellis trade on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Take your thoughts and your reactions to the Ryan Ellis trade on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I was sitting there in the, just kind of watching this unfold on Saturday, Joe. And the one thing that I couldn't really escape thinking about was the return on the trade and exactly what the Predators get back. You send Ryan Ellis to the Philadelphia Flyers, and it's a three-way trade, and the Vegas Golden Knights got involved in here as well. But at the end of the picture, you're getting Philip Myers back from the Flyers, who is a young defenseman who showed some promise pretty early in his career from the people I've talked to in Philadelphia struggled last year. Cody Glass coming back as well, which is really kind of the main deal in this trade for the Predators. So Predators originally acquired Nolan Patrick, who was a former, I believe, number 2 overall pick with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Same
draft. And he's had some medical issues, vertigo issues that he was dealing with for a while there. And it's just not worked out the way that Philadelphia has wanted to with Nolan Patrick. He gets moved to Vegas immediately by the Predators, and Cody Glass is the piece coming back to Nashville. And we'll get into a little bit more of what I think about that return and the player that Cody Glass can be coming up here in just a few minutes. But I guess my first thought was, and maybe this has been naive of me the whole time, but I've always operated under the assumption that if you trade Ryan Ellis, you could probably get a pretty good return back. Like, we've talked about it. Some comments from Elliot Friedman on with Darren Donick and Chase, and just the respect that Ryan Ellis has around the league. If you would have told me that the only thing the Predators were getting back for Ryan Ellis is Cody Glass and Philip Myers, I'd have been like, really? Not anything else? Like, you couldn't get anything better than that for Ryan Ellis on the return? And again, maybe this works out and Cody Glass figures it out. That's obviously what David Poile and the Predators are hoping for. And then you got a forward that I think from a skill set perspective, it's got a lot of potential and that you could build around. But I was kind of shocked that Ryan Ellis got traded and this was only the return that was coming back. And I know some people pointed out on Twitter, what's the contract, right? He's, $6.25 million a year. He's got another 6 years left on that contract. it's got to be what the contract is for how prohibitive it is for the Predators to get a bigger return. But I still think at that cap hit, I thought the Predators could have gotten back more, and I'm kind of surprised that they didn't. Like, this is all they got back for a Ryan Ellis trade.
Yeah, I think it's underwhelming.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what you would get back, but I guess I thought maybe a combination of picks, prospects, like a high pick, or a more proven player, you know, that you would get back. I mean, Myers is, he's going to be like a third pairing guy. Yeah. The book on him is kind of, you know, skill, some promise in that way, but maybe like the physicality and all that stuff hasn't been what people have hoped for. He's big. And then Glass is going to be, I mean, that's going to be the story here, is what he can become in Nashville. I mean, he's got to be a good, productive top six forward for you, right?
Yeah.
For a stretch. But I would agree, yes. I mean, the deal is you've opened up a lot of money. It is the term of it is, I think, the big issue, right, with a lot of these deals that David Poile has made with some of these guys. The term makes them, good word by you, more prohibitive. But it's not like it's a massive cap hit either for a really good proven player who's still in his prime. Maybe going on the other side of it, but I think he still has good years left.
Well, I think he does too. And look, I saw a lot of this on Twitter in the immediate aftermath. And I get it. I thought it was probably time to move on from Ryan Ellis. I've talked about that, how at some point, like, you can't just start keeping all these defensemen. Like, at some point, you got to move on and try to get some assets or get some players back that help you score goals. Like, that's what the Predators need right now. They're offensively challenged. I mean, they just are. And they need some prospects in here. They need some players in here that can help teams score. So I'm not necessarily surprised and or – you know, upset about the Predators moving Ryan Ellis. It's probably time for somebody in that defense corps to go. But there was this, from some on Saturday, like this, it was like celebratory that Ryan Ellis was gone in terms of he's just not a good player. And that's just not true. Like, Ryan Ellis was a good player. Like, every number you want to throw out there, every analytic you want to throw out there, Ryan Ellis was a good player. I understand he got pushed around the playoffs sometimes, and there's no question about it. He did. Now, a lot of that, he was playing through injuries, some of which we still don't even know about what he was playing through. But Ryan Ellis is a good player. I think he's going to go to Philadelphia. I think he's going to play well. I will say, I do worry if I'm the Flyers or, you know, prior to Saturday, if I was the Predators, about what the last couple of years of that contract could look like, because I think the chief concern with Ryan Ellis at this moment is, all right, is his body going to hold up throughout the end of this contract? I think that is a legitimate concern, and I could understand where there would be a lot of hesitancy there from David Poile and the Predators based on the way the last couple of seasons have gone for him as well.
One thing I've learned about this whole thing through this is he is a polarizing player.
He is.
Maybe I didn't appreciate that as much before this, because there's the entire range there, you know, with Ryan Ellis. But I agree, there is a strong faction of Preds fans that are like, oh, yes. It's like, well, he was pretty good, guys. I mean, you had some definite moments, especially in the postseason, you know, where he made a mistake or he got pushed around a little bit. But like you said, overall, yeah, anybody would take Ryan Ellis. I mean, anybody in this league, Ryan Ellis is going to be a top four defenseman and a good one. And I think he will be that for Philadelphia, too.
Well, and what it also tells me is the Predators, based on this and based on their expansion draft protection list, which we'll get to that coming up a little bit more later in the show, they feel pretty good about Alex Carrier. And that's what this tells me, and that's fine. I think coming down the stretch, Alex Carrier gave you a lot of things to feel good about. He played very well. Honestly, played better than I ever thought he would play. I mean, he was amazing coming down the stretch. And I said this on Twitter Saturday. Let's hold off a little bit before we start anointing Alex Carrier as like the next great Preds defenseman. He had a fantastic year last year. I'm not trying to criticize Alex Carrier, but I've seen this before. There's a guy named John Blum who the Predators took in the first round. And when he first got in the league, he had about 3 months where he looked awesome. And you're like, oh my goodness, can you believe what you know, Shea Weber, Ryan Suter, and you got John Blum coming up behind them. My gracious, they're going to be amazing. And then about a year and a half later, John Blum's not even in the league anymore because he can't play. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to Alex Carrier. I'm just saying we need to see it for more than 2 months before I'm willing to go there and say that Alex Carrier is like this guaranteed lockdown top four defenseman for the Predators.
Right, but to your point, I mean, look, you got to change the formula around a little bit.
Yeah.
So even if he's solid at his price, now you can do more where you really need help, right?
Sure.
So I think he's, to me, he's demonstrated that he can be fine, that he can be solid. You know, the interesting thing is the story you just told there sounds a little bit like Fabbro. Not saying that that's how it's going to turn out, but obviously Fabbro is another thing to talk about here. Like, where are things going for him? I mean, part of this is also, I think, confidence in him. And, I mean, they still end up protecting the only team in the league that protected five defensemen over the weekend. But, look, you have to move more money into the forward spot, and then you have to make a good selection or two.
You know,
at some point, you have to like use this cap space and actually make a choice that works out for you, which has not happened nearly enough in the last few years for David Poile.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob from Antioch, who wants to weigh in. Bob, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. I hate to see Ellis go. I really liked him, but I understand why they moved him. Ellis and Arvidsson and even Yossi and Johansson and Forsberg, all of those guys had pretty substantial injuries over the last few years, and I think that's one of the reasons that their overall core maybe didn't live up to the expectations people had. Do you think, keeping that in mind, do you think that Ellis's injury situation is the reason that they didn't get as much for him as perhaps most Preds fans would have expected?
Hey, thanks for the call, Bob. We'll talk about it.
Thank you.
I think it's certainly that's a big factor, and I think that goes more into not only the injuries that he's had. I think in the short term, you're not that worried about it because Ryan Ellis, I mean, he came back. He played, other than game one in the playoffs against Carolina, he was fine. I mean, he played pretty well in the playoffs. So, like right now, Ryan Ellis is healthy. Ryan Ellis, you feel good about. But what's that going to look like in the last 2 years of that contract or the last 3 years of that contract? Those injuries, at some point, they start to pile up. And the other part of this is, and I don't think this can be overrated, he's not the biggest guy. So you need every advantage you can get if you're a guy like that in Ryan Ellis, whether that's speed, whether it's hockey IQ of knowing where to be. And Ryan Ellis, to his credit, his size, for the most part, has not been a detriment to his game in the NHL career. Obviously, you would prefer it if he was Shea Weber size out there, and he would be heck of a player if he was Shea Weber size out there. But he's been able to overcome that for the most part. As you start to slow down a little bit when you're a guy his size, I think that drawback, that drop-off in play can be a lot more pronounced with those type guys.
Yeah.
Especially when you start to lose some of that speed.
Well, the thing about Ellis is I think the injury thing was really a concern going into the 19-20 season, right?
Yep.
And then he actually answered that, and then he encountered Corey Perry. So
yeah, there is that.
But, I mean, I feel like that's been a little bit less of a concern. But the postseason, I mean it's just – it's, again, much more of a factor for Arvidsson, I think, the difference in regular season and postseason play. And his effectiveness was not what you would hope. But there were times, I mean, look, a lot of forwards who aren't finishing checks in the regular season are doing so in the postseason. And at times that would show up for Ellis as well. I'm sure that's all a factor in this, to answer Bob's question. And like you said, just size, age, you wonder about the back end of the deal. But I still think the Preds should have gotten more.
And look, maybe that's just the market now, just what it is. And the term, we talked about how difficult it's going to be to move some of these larger contracts with term. And maybe if you can do it, it's worth just doing. I mean, but there is the point, and I was talking to a couple people about this over the weekend. Let's think about some of the players that they've now traded. PK Subban, Victor Arvidsson, and Ryan Ellis. PK Subban was essentially a salary dump. You've got Jeremy Davies that you feel okay about, and some draft picks that came along with it. Arvidsson, a second round pick and a third round pick, and now Ryan Ellis for Myers, who he'll be able to play for you. He's a serviceable defenseman, but he's not getting into the top four. And Cody Glass, who you're hoping works out. Now, if the Cody Glass trade works out and he lives up to his potential, then this could be a pretty good trade for the Predators. Right now, it's off to a slow start for Cody Glass at the NHL level. We'll get to that more coming up a little bit later in the show. But you think about the quality of players that Subban, Arvidsson, and Ellis have been for this Predators organization, and then you think about the return in which they've gotten back for all of them, it's not much. Not a whole lot on that return.
Right. Like you said, Subban's salary dump all the way, so no one expected a return there.
Right.
But this on this one, I think especially this one, I thought it might be pretty good.
So what does this say about the Predators roster and how David Poile views this team as they move ahead in here and for the rest of the offseason with the expansion draft coming up this week and next season, the next couple of seasons, some very interesting decisions coming up for David Poile and the Predators as well. We'll get to all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking Predators and the Ryan Ellis trade. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What does this trade mean for the Predators, both in the short term and in the long term? And we threw out the question, do you think the Predators are in a rebuild? Let us know on our text line at 615-737-1025. But Joe, as I was saying in the last segment, we ran a little bit over on time, but I was bringing up the point about Cody Glass. Because right now, to me, you've got three guys that are in a pretty similar spot in this organization in terms of where they are in their careers and how you try to get them to the next level. I think Glass, Tolvanen, and Tomasino are all three guys that they need to play, and they need to play at the NHL level in a position where they're able to produce. So I'm talking top 6 minutes. Like, they need to play. They need to be on the power play. Really skilled guys, you've got to give them a chance to go out there and score. But if you've got Johansson coming back, if you've got Forsberg coming back, Matt Duchene, I would assume they still want to sign Mikael Granlund as well. Like, there's not enough room for all these kids in the top six.
I mean, Luke Cunningham's got to be in the top six too, right? Probably not.
I mean,
necessarily.
I was thinking a perfect world. He's probably a third line guy, but I mean, played great with Granlund last year. So if Granlund's coming back and he's in the top six, you're probably starting with Cunningham with him. So that's going to be interesting. If you've got these guys coming back, and again, this picture will get a little bit clearer after the expansion draft coming up on Wednesday, but I feel like you've got to put them in positions to succeed and play them in the top six. I still, even after this move, I still think Philip Tomasino is going to make this team. So that's all of a sudden you've got some young forwards who've got a lot of skill. They've got a lot of promise. But that's, you're relying on a lot of young guys to come in and immediately figure things out at the NHL level. And as we've seen, sometimes that works. Sometimes that can be a pretty dangerous game to play, especially when you factor in that not only are young guys coming in that you're relying on to be productive, but also some of the veteran guys that you've gotten there have not been productive the last couple of years. That is that's a heck of a balance you're trying to strike there if you're David Poile and the Predators.
It's hard to even imagine this picture working if you don't lose one of the $8 million guys this week, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, yeah, there's a glut, and there's either people playing where they're not going to be maximized, not ideal. And like, again, you've got plenty of bottom six forwards, even though now I would expect Seattle to take Yarncroke, would just be my guess, if there isn't a deal struck for one of those other guys.
With Sissons being exposed with that term, that's probably the way I'd be going.
Yeah. But either one of the two, yeah. Right? So it just doesn't add up. And then again, you're talking about Granlund and how well he fit in and how essential he seems on the free agent market. It doesn't work. The picture doesn't make sense.
Right. So what's going to happen there on that front? I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing moving forward, because David Poile did say on Saturday, Philip Tomasino, Eli Tolvanen, those were some names that came up with David Poile following this trade with Ryan Ellis. And here is what Nashville Predators general manager David Poile had to say in his press conference on Saturday regarding the future of some of the young players in this organization.
Again, just younger players in different elements that we're changing our lineup to. Like, you know, I said in past weeks, this will give up Tolvanen more of a chance, and Tomasino maybe a chance to make our lineup. So it's a little bit of a retool of our lineup overall.
So that was David Poile on Saturday, kind of discussing how they've moved younger this offseason, and that has been a part of their plan. We talked last year about the youth movement that was going to be taking place, and then the season came and the opening night roster came out for the Predators, and there was not much of a youth movement that took place at that point. Now, as we know, it did happen after that, largely due to injury, and the Predators had to use a lot of young guys coming down the stretch. It appears that is the strategy that they want to continue to pursue, getting younger, getting some more opportunities from some guys in the pipeline. My question is, what does that mean for the short term? Like, I think it's a good move long term, and I think everybody would probably agree. We've talked about shaking this core up. You've got to find some young guys to come in here, and the term I've used is upward mobility. Like, they've got to find a level to get to where your top six just isn't immediately spoken for. Like, Tomasino can come in and play in the top six, or now Cody Glass can come in and play in the top six. I think everybody feels good about that long term. Short term, what does that mean for this team now? And if you're Philip Forsberg or Matthias Ekholm, how do you think this impacts whether or not they sign an extension this offseason? Because I will say, like, if I'm Philip Forsberg right now, I'm looking around saying, all right, Arvidsson's gone. There's nobody back on this roster that immediately helps. Ellis is gone. There are a couple guys that you hope can come back and help, but nobody that you know can come in and help. How do I feel about the direction of this team the next 3 years? I think that's a legitimate question right now if I'm Philip Forsberg. The discussion around him signing a contract extension is getting very interesting to me, because I'm interested to know what he feels like and where he sees the trajectory of this team going right now.
Right. Now, he already made it clear.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, the day of a trade, someone who's a close friend, teammate for several years, it's going to be some emotion, but still made the decision to make it known publicly,
yeah,
what he felt about that. And then Ekholm, I mean, I think it's the same thing.
I do too.
And I think it, and frankly, I think you take it up a notch when you take away an Ellis, you know?
Well, and the other part of this is it's a little bit different for Ekholm. Forsberg's 26 years old, right? I mean, he's still got, you would think, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 more years of being right in that window where you're playing really good hockey and at the prime of your career. Ekholm's 31. Like, they're in two different spots in the terms of the rest of their career. Like, if the Predators, if they're in a quote-unquote rebuild in that last 2 or 3 years, on the other side of that, Ekholm's 34, 35 years old. I mean, how much does that factor into his decision? I would think a lot if I'm Ekholm. So I think that's why the rest of this offseason, starting this week with the expansion draft, those two in particular are going to be paying very close attention to what David Poile and the Predators do.
Right, and that's also part of the evaluating, like we've been talking about, who might they go get, you know, what's the final picture going to look like. That's a big part of grading this offseason too. Can you get those guys extended? And if not, I mean, I think it's another, like, again, I think maybe it's overstating it with Pekka-Rinne retiring to take it to some big sweeping comment on where things are going, but I bet you if he felt better about it, well, I can't bet you, but I think it might have gone the other way.
I do too.
You know, and it's all kind of heading toward this very different look. And if Poile has his way, well, it'll be a short, I guess, short step back, a step back, two steps forward, real quick, and come back, but. Man, that's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do whatsoever. And one thing that could make that, I don't know, maybe easier, maybe a little bit more complicated, is the expansion draft coming up this week here in just a couple of days. And the expansion draft lists were made public yesterday morning after the deadline was due on Saturday. What did we think of the Nashville Predators and their expansion draft protection list? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our buddy Chase McCabe tweeting in that he's heading down to SEC Media Days and listening to the crew. So, Chase, shout out to you. By the way, Chase going to be down at SEC Media Days for the next couple of days. Our SEC Media Days coverage brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket, an equipment supplier here in Nashville, including gaskets, hoses, hose fittings, seals, packing, joints, gauges, fire protection, cups, belting, and more. If you need it, they've got it. Make sure you check out our friends at Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And I look forward to Chase McCabe's coverage from down there. We'll have a lot to get to you from Chase McCabe and his coverage down at SEC Media Days later this week. Right now, talking Preds, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Tyler from Berry Hill texting in. What do we know about the new Myers guy that we ended up getting in the trade and protecting in the expansion draft? Let me first start by saying there were a lot of Predators fans upset yesterday, and we'll get more to the list of the expansion draft protected list for the Predators coming up here in just a few minutes. A lot of people upset that they still went five defensemen, even with Ryan Ellis being gone. They're not trading Ryan Ellis, getting a guy back, and then leaving that guy that they traded for exposed in the expansion draft and losing him. Like, it's not a very good way to operate.
That'd be interesting.
It would be. I mean, look, I don't know that Seattle would have taken Philip Myers.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't have.
Probably not, but what would that look like if you traded Ryan Ellis away and one of the two pieces you got back is now gone? You lose him for nothing. That'd be tough.
Yeah, it'd be some Keystone Cop stuff right there. Got to do it.
Yeah, so look, I mean, Myers, I mean, he's probably a third defense pairing guy, especially on this team, probably a third D-pair guy. He's fine. Like I said, he started off pretty well. From the people I talked to in Philadelphia, last year was not great for him. And last year, honestly, wasn't great for Philadelphia as a whole. So that kind of works hand in hand with defensemen a lot of times. But I don't think that Myers is a guy that's going to come in here and all of a sudden start playing with Roman Josi or anything like that. And, you know, I think he's a guy that kind of fits right into the mix of the bottom pair defensemen that they have. I think he probably will start by playing. And we'll see how that makes everybody else slot into the rotation. But I don't think Philip Myers is a guy that you think is going to be any sort of long-term replacement for Ryan Ellis by any means. So that would be my initial thoughts on Myers coming back from the Flyers now as a member of the Nashville Predators defense corps.
I mean, we would expect probably Carrier, Josi to be together?
That was my initial thought, yes.
Ekholm-Fabro. I mean, that's the thing, too. The wild card is Fabro.
Yeah.
And how he responds and what John Hines thinks of him and all that stuff. I suppose Myers could have opportunities. But
sure.
You hope that this further kind of strengthens your third pairing, which, of course, has been something they've been working on here.
Well, and they've gotten younger. Like, Myers, he's 24. And that was part of what David Poile said the other day was getting younger. And moving in that direction as a team. And, you know, Myers is a guy, he's a right-handed shot, so they've got plenty of options now as right-handed shots on that. Do you know how they love the lefty-righty combo? A lot of teams like to stick to that because it just puts everybody naturally where it's easier to move the puck. I mean, there are some guys that can play on the other side, Ekholm being one of those guys that can play on both sides, and he does it pretty flawlessly, which is, I think, still a hugely underrated part of what he brings to the table. A lot of guys can't do that. We saw Fabro try to play on the left side at one point this year, and it can be rough. It's very difficult on passes you're normally making with your forehand coming out of the zone. Those backhand passes can be a little bit more challenging every now and then.
Right. That's a good point. People don't think about that too much. I mean, Myers got, you know, 19-20 season. He had 16 points in 50 games. You know, he's got some skill. And, again, you're talking about 6'5", 210. 24 years old. So that's fine. I mean, again, to me, like you said last segment, this trade will be graded on Cody Glass.
Yeah. So what does this trade signal for the Nashville Predators? When you factor in the Ryan Ellis trade, the Victor Arvidsson trade as well, obviously the core of this team has been shaken up, and still some moves to come with the expansion draft coming up later this week. But David Poile talked about this on Saturday in his media availability after the Ryan Ellis trade about what this means for the core of this team and what this says about what the roster is looking like and how that's viewed by the organization as the Predators move forward here. Here's what Nashville Predators general manager David Poile had to say on Saturday.
It is not easy making trades, but it's not dissimilar to the Victor Arvidsson situation. I just felt in this offseason it's time for a change. And from that standpoint, I'm very excited about the return that we got for Ryan Ellis today. You know, I'd like to emphasize in my mind that I don't see this as a rebuild. I see this as a effort to get younger and to add some elements to our team that maybe we haven't had in recent years. And I want to get us back to a situation where we're competing at a higher level.
So that was David Poile on Saturday in his press conference after the Ryan Ellis trade, using the term, I don't see this as a rebuild. And Joe, later in the press conference, went on to say, quote, competitive rebuild is how he would describe it. What do you think of that? Do you kind of view this situation so far in the offseason as a rebuild for the Predators? Where do you come down on where their roster is right now and what this means for this team, both in the short term and in the long term as well?
Every single loss next season, someone will say or type, text, tweet, Facebook post, call in, text us, and say, oh, competitive rebuild, huh, David Poile?
100%. It will happen every time.
Whatever term he used, you know, if it's a unique term, which I haven't heard that said exactly that way, it's now fodder for everyone.
Yes.
But it's the same thing as, like, what, soft reset, right? Is that the Vingan term?
Soft reset.
Is that your term?
That's Vingan's.
That's Vingan. I mean, I don't disagree with him. Like, I don't. Right now, I would not say that they're in a full rebuild. And he talked about how he mentioned, you know, there's some teams that are, you know, have gone in that for a long time. So I don't think these moves signify a full rebuild. Now, do I think this will work? That's a different discussion. I have serious doubts about that, about whether they're actually going to be able to pull this off and get, you know, whatever moves to come to re-gel this team and rise up and get back to actually being a contender in a short period of time. I mean, that's what he's trying to do. But that is what he's trying to do. So, yes, I mean, I don't dispute what he's saying. This is not a rebuild. Now, if they go and here goes Forsberg for picks and here goes, they keep chipping away at it, eventually it's like, okay, you're in a full rebuild mode. But they aren't right now, right?
They're not, but it's pretty close. I mean, a lot of this is going to depend on who they lose in the expansion draft, right? Because if you lose, obviously, Arvidsson, Ellis, and then a guy like, say, Duchesne goes. Now, a lot of Predators fans would love to see that, but it's also, that's a gigantic shakeup to your core, and all of a sudden, you've got like 30-some-odd million dollars of cap space floating around.
Well, that's the thing.
That's a rebuild at that point.
Well, Well, I can't say it's a rebuild until now. If I see it, then Poile doesn't invest in other people to come in who are ready to play, who are proven players. Okay, well then I agree.
Yeah.
Now let's also, if they lose Duchesne, I mean, another person that is constantly in this discussion is Granlund, right?
Yeah.
To me, Granlund is, well, if John Hines had his druthers, you know, he'd lock him in right now.
Well, he would,
for
5 years. And that's the other part of this that's very interesting to me is, what does Granlund think about this? What does Forsberg think about this? I mean, I always try to keep in mind with these discussions that the offseason you can't really judge it until it's complete, right? I mean, there are steps in the offseason that are required. I mean, you've got to take some steps before free agency gets here, before you can sign Forsberg and Ekholm to extension. So there are parts of this that we're not going to know the complete picture of for another few weeks, maybe months, when it comes to what this full picture looks like. But right now, I don't think there's any question. The Predators are not a better team today than they were 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. No. So, and I'm not sure that's debatable. Now, I say I'm not sure it's debatable. Some people were debating me on that over the weekend. I don't know how you could look at this roster right now and say that it's better than it was a couple of weeks ago. Now, saying that,
not even close.
You always have to keep in mind that they're not done. The picture is not yet over with this. So I'm not willing to go rebuild yet. But it's not like you're trading some of these guys off and you're bringing players in that can help you right now. Like, you're hoping Cody Glass can come in and help you right now. Myers is going to play for you. That second round and third round pick that you got for Arvidsson, with all likelihood, neither one of those guys coming in this year and helping you. Probably not coming in next year and helping you either. So you make enough of those moves and it starts to look awful lot like a rebuild.
Right. I mean, if you don't bring in people who can play, who we know can play at some point in this offseason, then I'll agree. It's interesting that, like, so Elliot Friedman had one of his columns with all million thoughts in them. And this is what he said. Thanks to Brian at BWiz77 for tweeting me this. But his quote on Nashville, this is Friedman: "What's next for Nashville? David Poile swings for the fences. Suddenly he's got some room." You know, like, that's the expectation is, okay, what's the big move then?
I just wonder what that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but even if it's a couple, multiple moves of, proven players, more people that are coming in, is this just going to be, okay, Tomasino counting on you, Tolvanen counting on you, Glass counting on you, then you got, Johansson, Forsberg. I mean, I think Duchesne too, right? I mean, if that's what it is it a rebuild? I mean, you still have a lot of high-priced players and a good goal. I mean, it's probably not a playoff team.
Exactly. So what does that mean? I don't know what to make of that.
But like, there's got to be a name that we don't know.
You would think.
There has to be, I think, for sure, for it to go the way you want it to go.
Sure. But also, I mean, the Cody Glass part of this is interesting because part of the – and look, Vegas did not go well for Cody Glass. I mean, he's played 66 games in his career so far in the NHL. He's got 22 points, 9 goals, 13 assists. You know, he's 22 years old, so it's not like he's a washed-up player or anything like that. But he's not lived up to the expectations. Now, some of that, I think, is opportunity. They stuck him on the first line very young, and it didn't go that well. And then basically he became a third-line winger after that. I don't know how much good that's doing him at that point in his career. And he spent some time in the American Hockey League as well. So that's going to be interesting to see where he fits in here. But, like, if you're the Predators, I would think you'd want him to play pretty high in the lineup. Otherwise, like, what's he doing? Like, he's – Cody Glass on the fourth line is not going to do much for you. I mean, it's kind of the same situation as Philip Tomasino. So that's going to be interesting to see where they place him in that regard. We'll get to more of this coming up next. Taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.